Final hour of power here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles, Lanoa Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Jason Locke and Fora going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Right now, we continue our conversation with the Rooster, Chris Russell, who you can hear Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. on our sister station, the Team 980. Chris, I wanted to talk to you about the defensive line. So I did a bunch of fan podcasts yesterday. I did the gauntlet trying to, you know, help my reputation on social media so they don't call me a DEI hire. So I did a bunch of fan podcasts yesterday. And, Chris, you've been out there most days. Like, yeah. You've missed, like, a couple days. Rarely miss a day.
But yeah, I missed two practices while I was in Vegas.
Yeah, correct. I've missed the one practice, so there's one day that I haven't seen. But what I said on the podcast, fan podcast yesterday, and I think I'll say this tomorrow early on the Team 980, I think the defensive line has been the most consistent thing about training camp.
Their
ability to get they've done it every practice.
Yeah. I think if you look, it's probably a much deeper unit, mm-hmm. right? And there's more rotation of bodies. And I also think there's something that has stood out to me during mm-hmm. practices. I don't know if it stood out to you is, you know, there seems to be a different level of twitchiness, if you will, in terms of getting off the line of scrimmage, getting off the ball, getting pressure, getting into the offensive linemen. And maybe that's something that's subtle, and maybe that's just because they know the offensive line by now, and they mm-hmm. know the scheme, and they know this, and they know that. And the offensive line, as we've talked about, hasn't had Brandon Coleman. Tunsil missed a couple of days just because of vet rest days. Obviously, they were rotating Wiley and the rookie Josh Connerly around. They have no Sam Cosmi, so on and so forth. Or maybe it's just the defensive line has been pretty damn good. And a couple of guys that, you know, have stood out, and I think everybody feels this way, Daron Payne has looked very good. Now I got to see it in games, right? Because right. Daron Payne has been largely on the back of a milk carton for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right? I totally agree.
And then one guy I know we were talking about, and I talked to him after the practice, is Jacob Martin.
Yes.
Who
been a major standout.
And I think you mentioned to me, and I asked him about bulking up 20 pounds or mm-hmm. whatever. He said he's up about 15 to 18 pounds.
Yeah.
And he said he feels better and more and stronger and more durable and more explosive off the snap than he ever has in his career. Why? Because he said he changed his workout regime this year. He started earlier and he went harder. And therefore more than he normally did, where he took more time to rest and recover. And he feels that's really helped him. Now, what does that mean? I mean, does that mean he's going to get 10 sacks? Of course not. But you know what? It's like guys like him, Linnell, mm-hmm. and I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it. He could easily get 6 or 7 sacks
yes.
this year.
Yes.
And we look up and go, oh, wow, Jacob Martin, man, I wasn't expecting that. That was probably double the production that I was expecting. And don't forget, if he's in packages with Von Miller and Frankie Louvu, which he will be at times, assuming that he makes the roster, which I think he will, he's going to be the forgotten man. Nobody's going to give him attention, especially if Von Miller's out there, especially if Frankie Louvu's hunting,
especially if
they blitz Bobby Wagner like they have.
And the one thing I've seen a lot with Martin in particular, more than the other defensive ends, they love his athleticism,
yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
In terms of these simulated pressures, he's the defensive end that I see the most dropping out into the flat,
yeah.
dropping into a hook to curl. Now, for years, we saw Jack Del Rio's idiotic self do that with Chase and Montez, two guys that I just don't think are capable of doing it. Jacob's got a little bit more athleticism and is mm-hmm. a little bit more fluid in the lower half to where I'm comfortable having him do that. But I'm starting to, and this is something I'll do over the next couple of days here, sitting in for on 980. This 53-man roster is going to be interesting in terms of how many dudes they choose to keep up front along mm-hmm. this defensive line.
Yeah,
I think throughout the course of the season, in a particular game, we could see 6 different edge rushers.
I wonder if the group's going to be 9 people.
I think they're close to keeping 10 or 11.
I mean, it could be. I don't know how you make the numbers work, but remember last year,
mm-hmm.
they went very, very, very light at linebacker. I want to say they took 3 linebackers. I'd have to double check that, but it was like a really low number
mm-hmm.
so that they could take more defensive backs and more defensive line. I think this coaching staff understands in order to get the most out of the pass rush, they are going to have a heavy, deep rotation, which lends itself to a minimum of 8 And again, I mentioned the number 9. You mentioned the number 10. It could be as much as that. Now, would that be a little bit heavy for me? 10? Probably, yes.
And I think it all depends on who you feel you can stash on the practice squad.
Well,
too.
Sure.
Like
absolutely.
Tight end, I think tight end, they're only going to go 3 because you could stash Cole Turner and Colson Yankoff on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Right? Running back. Like, no one's that may be the interesting spot because you may get McNichols
plucked. Because you don't know what they're going to do with Bill.
Right. But at safety, like, you can, if you need to sneak Tyler Owens onto the practice squad, you probably can.
Now, right? you do risk losing these guys, right? I mean, whatever you think you can do, and a lot of times you do get guys back because there's a flood of guys. There's like, 1,200 guys hitting the free agent mark or the waiver wire at the same time. And teams just don't have the ability to sign everybody and get everybody worked in and so on and so forth. So a lot of times it's, you do get a lot of guys back, but you could lose a Tyler Owens. You could lose somebody like that if you try and play that game. So you have to factor that in, right? You have to bake that in. But to your point overall, they are a much deeper roster than they were, I think, at this time last year when guys like Yankov and Tyler Owens as rookies made the roster and other guys that maybe you didn't expect. And one thing you pointed out, and you're absolutely right, on Tuesday, they've been playing a lot of 3 safeties, right? So, look, you could play 3 safeties and 2 corners in a big nickel situation. You could play 3 safeties, 3 corners. You could use one of the 3 safeties essentially as one of your coverage linebackers in nickel or dime or whatever package you're running to kind of gobble up some space in an area that they struggle behind the linebacker level. So you could do different things without necessary, like you might. Now, again, Von Miller is listed as a linebacker, right? So, okay, right. If we list him as a linebacker, Von Miller, Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, you know those 3 guys. But if Jordan McGee continues to be hurt, what if he's got to go on IR? What if he's got whatever? Well, I don't know if you have to take Kane Madrona. That might be a guy you can get through to the practice squad and risk that. You might use a safety basically as your backup linebacker behind the 3 obvious ones that are going to make the roster.
Right. And so I think if it's Jeremy Reeves, that has to be in that spot as the guy that's going to go in the box, I think he's got the toughness to do so.
Yes.
The other thing about linebacker, maybe you didn't count, like Nick Belor is going to make this roster.
That's true. You're right.
So I'm thinking for linebackers, it's probably 5 at the max, 4 if they decide to do something sneaky.
Yeah.
With Jordan McGee, which I don't necessarily foresee. All we continue to hear, but I don't – this is the one thing. We can hear everything we want. This is out of respect to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. I don't believe a damn thing they say. To where I actually believe Ron Rivera and company more, which is a bad thing because they just they just let it all hang out. DQ's way more discreet about things. I think Adam's way more discreet about things, and that comes from the background of both of those 2.
But I think this is also a good thing in a way, right? You are going to lose guys that fans have kind of had a little feeling for, if you will.
Yes.
Again, you might lose a Tyler Owens. You might lose a, I don't see Jordan McGee being exposed, but I mean, if he can't stay healthy.
That would be, I don't know. I think they think too highly of him to do that.
I agree with that, but
I think
again,
they're have
the health
to go
is
short.
A big thing.
They're
going
to have to go short at a particular position. Yeah. I think they go with, but then the thing is, like, Yankov made it last year off the ability to play teams. I don't think they were accounting for him being, like, the backup. But, like, for Ben Sinnott, the interesting thing is he's Zach Ertz's immediate backup as a pass catcher, and he's John Bates' immediate backup as the blocker.
Right.
So,
well, those three we would agree are definite. So
it really
comes down to whether you would take a 4th tight end in Yankov and or
whether it's a Tyree Jackson or a Cole
Turner.
I think they like Cole.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the guy that's jumped out to me at times in camp is 89, Cager. Now, I don't think he makes the roster, but maybe that's a guy you can slip through to the practice squad.
he's made some plays, and I wonder how many they choose to keep at wide receiver. Does that impact, at tight end, does that impact a wide receiver
numbers? Well, and here's the thing. If you don't have five really good receivers, do you have to take, or six really good receivers, do you have to take six? I mean, I think you take five because they can obviously help you on special teams. You got to have other guys out there. And of course, this is dependent on Terry, depending on Noah Brown. But I don't know if you need to take six or seven wide receivers if we're talking about taking, I don't know, Chris Moore.
Here's the other thing, too. If Terry is on PUP to start the year, does it count against the 53? That would be a no, correct?
It doesn't.
So it probably, if maybe to their benefit to keep him on PUP. Who knows?
And here's another thing.
Yeah.
I'm normally a big fan of taking three quarterbacks. Right now, I don't know if you
–
If Mariota comes back, which is a big if at this point, I don't know if you can. Because Sam Hartman hasn't – I'm sorry, he hasn't earned a roster spot.
Yeah, I don't even think he's earned a practice squad spot.
Yeah, and Josh Johnson I know is a veteran who can be an ideal number three, but I don't know if you're going to have the roster spot.
Yeah, because someone was going to pluck him if you don't. Yeah. Like, he's too proven of a commodity in this league, and I think it may even be to a point where he could be the backup next year if Mariota is able to get a starting gig at some point this offseason or whatever, or so on and so forth. But building out this 53-man roster is going to be one hell of an exercise is the big thing that I
would agree
from this.
It's going to be a really interesting, and here's the thing. It's less than 2 weeks away, right?
Yeah.
We have two games in about 4.5-5 days. The practices. Nobody's going to play in the Baltimore game of any real consequence. And you've got the joint practice in between that. The Cincinnati game will tell us more. It won't tell us everything, but it'll tell us more. And
can I give you a guy to circle for Cincy, too, real quick, too?
Yeah.
Who I think is played his way onto the second team defensive tackle spot. Carl Davis and Jazan Newton would be the second group of D tackles that I roll out if we had to play tomorrow.
I don't disagree with that.
Like that,
I don't disagree at all with that. I mean, Davis gives them a little.
He's bigger.
I mean, listen, you pointed it out on Saturday, I think it was, when we talked right after the game, and then I went back and I watched a little more closely, and I mean, it was one game. But you see Eddie Goldman getting pushed back.
Dude, I mean, it was bad.
You know, and I remarked to you, I didn't think he was as big in person as I was expecting.
Like him and Carl Davis standing next to each other, like they're listed as the same weight. Mm-hmm. Carl's bigger. He's just wider. I think Eddie's trimmed down and is actually in good shape. But at this point, I think they need his weight to be going in the other direction.
Yeah, it may have hurt him a little bit.
Right. We've blown out the clock completely. I got to get to our pal, Jason Lockefoot. That was a very fruitful conversation, though.
Love it.
Always.
We should do more of this stuff on 980. If you could only make yourself available for us mere peasants.
Oh, my Lord. That is Chris Russell degrading himself on the way out per usual. You can hear him weekdays 1-4 on the team 980. Chris, we appreciate you as always.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate
Jason you. Jason Lockefoot, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins us next. Get right to it. Let's go out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's where we find our pal Jason Lockenfora, the host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Make sure you check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. JLC, you know this being a radio professional yourself up in Baltimore. I've went long at some point in this show, and now everything's got to be a little bit shorter, so we'll be very succinct with question and answers here, but we appreciate you making some time.
I've been there, done that.
I know you've been there, done that several different times. But, but obviously love having you on, brother, man. It's always a pleasure. You keep it real with us. Make sure you all check out Jason's work in the Washington Post as well. You know why we're here. Terry McLaurin still holding out.
Yeah.
Fowler's put a 20% chance on him missing week one. I've got it at a 35% chance. One, your personal opinion on the matter and where it stands right now, and then what are you hearing relative to this?
Yeah, I don't really think much has changed. They're obviously at a loggerhead in terms of what his value is, what his worth is. I don't think the team has ever felt incredibly motivated. to do something. He's brought it to the fore and brought it to a head. And I do think this one has the potential to end a little differently than some of the other ones. I don't think this is just like Micah Parsons in Dallas. I don't think this is like Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, where there's just a little bit of a different backstory. This is a new front office and a new ownership group. And I think that the way in which Terry's taking some things personally, which I would too, I don't know, man. I just wonder if those guys think, with the caliber of quarterback that they have and with the, you know.
Well, Jason, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, Jason.
They think they have. I don't know, bro. I think maybe they think they can get by without him. I don't know.
Being there, I've been out there every day at training camp, and I get in camp. You can't see the full Jaden Daniels experience because he can't run. He's got on a gold jersey. Dude, I mean, they are lacking professionals at the position. Now, Noah Brown has been out too, but that's been his case the entirety of his career. He's never available. It's right. Why he's bounced around. Dude, they had the inter-squad scrimmage yesterday. It's the worst I've ever seen this kid look. The offensive line was under siege. I think that's also a byproduct of the defensive line being improved. They made some changes there.
Sure.
They're starting guards on the shelf right now. We don't know when he's going to be back. I just think they looked inept offensively against our defense in practice. And
right.
You're hearing rave reviews about Trey Amos and Marshawn Lattimore, but I'm confused. Is it a byproduct of who they're going against, or are these dudes the real deal?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of fool's gold out there this time of year. That's just the reality. It is very hard to duplicate the NFL and what it's like going against another NFL team and a high-caliber NFL team. Mm-hmm. Look, if you're Terry, you're sitting back and sipping your tea, and you're watching the same thing they're seeing. You know, he's in the room when they're reviewing practice film and game film.
Yeah.
He's seeing it for what it is, and maybe that helps them come to their senses. There's a part of me, though, that wonders if he is dealt at some point, whether it's before the season or whether it's before the deadline. The longer this goes unresolved, the more I do wonder if they have, you know, an asset allocation theory that they're adhering to, that they brought from San Francisco. And when they did their Debo thing, is that in some way insurance in case this thing came to a head? Is that them thinking they could do it differently if they decide that they want to trade Terry for a developmental pass rusher and some draft picks or whatever? I don't know. I don't know, but it never should have gotten here in the first, you know, in the first place. And maybe another horse bleep preseason game will be enough to get the owner to say, hey, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But that's probably what I think it's going to take, because I think the football ops have been left to their own devices for a long time here.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done and what they haven't done, I think, speaks volumes.
So here's the thing that fans are scared crapless about, Jason, and you know, were around this team during the Snyder years and understand how much of a meddler he was. The fan base, when I've posed that to them on the phones, on social media, is like, well, no, we don't want a meddling owner. This is a different type of meddling, though. If Josh comes in and with his 21 limited partners and goes, well, we can pony up some under-the-table bonus money that does not count towards the salary cap just to make him happy, then that's what we've got to do. But I think fans have looked at this as an Adam we trust. Everything he touches is gold. He's got the Midas touch, which I get. We haven't had a competent front office exec in a long, long time here. So I get wanting to, you know, love everything that he's done. But at some point, it is organizational malpractice to put your second-year quarterback behind the eight ball like this, because the numbers speak for themselves in terms of 13 of his 25 touchdown passes went to McLaurin. So it's a huge loss if you don't have him. I don't know why they're wanting to play this game. Before you interject, there's something I've been itching to talk to you about. I've been trying to request you for a little while here. A guy went on vacation for a bit, so we had some straggles. You know the CBA better than I do. The fact that he's on PUP, Jason, no one's talking about it. It's could be advantageous to McLaurin if he starts the regular season on PUP, JLC. Correct me if I'm wrong. He gets those 4 weeks worth of game checks, correct?
I believe so.
So if you're Terry, that's where I think everyone here locally has called me a maniac for throwing this out there. And it could get to 6 weeks because you've then got that 21-day practice window
that has to open.
So that's 6 weeks of game checks. This team can't survive the first 6 weeks minus McLaurin. I'm telling you.
No, I think it would be a tough ask. I don't love the offensive line there the way some other people do. And look, you say what you want about San Francisco, and they've done a lot of things right.
Yeah.
But nobody has gone around saying, you know, Prague Moroff and those guys had the best bedside manner in the world. Like, a lot of their negotiations got real bad and real ugly before they got done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to win. Like, it wasn't about, like, doing fair deals. It was about winning. It was about being stuck in. Yeah. It was about saying, we're not doing this for any player. We don't care who you think you are. The San Francisco 49ers don't operate that way. We don't pay that money that way. We don't do that in year two of contracts. We don't do that in year three of contracts. So, there was a lot of hubris there for a team that, as best I can tell, ain't won a damn thing that you're going to throw a parade for. So, I do wonder about that kind of stuff when you have a front office like this that has all that success right off the bat, and that might go to their head a little bit too. Like, I don't know.
The pup thing is very weird. The pup thing is weird because they were literally posting photos of him, Jason, on the team's social media account, working out before the voluntary OTA started. There was a point there where he thought the negotiations would have progressed more, and Buddy Baker told him to take his ball and go home, and he did that. They're trying to, and it's so funny, Jason, because our sweet reporters out there on the beat doing their job, they're asking Dan Quinn questions about the kid's ankle like it's actually hurt. We know he's not hurt. And my thing is, do you think they may have screwed up by putting him on PUP? Because it gets to a point where you can he's got to pass the physical. He's got to pass the physical to get off PUP. And if he tries to call their bluff, they can file a grievance saying that, look, he's not actually hurt. I wonder if you're Terry, like, if there is something minor with the ankle and you bypass the procedure this offseason to want to be ready for week one, do you then pull that out of the hat right before the season starts and say, hey, I'm getting this procedure. You got to keep me on PUP for the first 4 weeks. Like, it's so messy, and I don't remember a situation like this because everything that Terry has done at this point, Jason, has been so anti-Terry that now I'm at the point where I don't think anything's off the table for what he's willing to go to, the lengths he's willing to go to.
No, that's why I say this is one where you won't often hear me say, I think that guy could be dealt, especially this time of year. You don't see blockbuster trades in the NFL. But my spider senses have tingled about this one for a while, and they still do.
Yeah.
They still do. They might think the quarterback makes everybody and everything. And if you don't want to be here, great. We'll trade you somewhere with a crappier quarterback and let them pay you, and we'll get some stuff for you. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, it's clear that they have not been able to reach him on a human level, right? Like, they haven't. People want to law DQ left and right, and he's a player's coach and yada, yada, yada. But he's clearly not simpatico with, I don't know, one of the three, four most important players on that roster. So, again, there's a business side of things. There's a football side of things.
Do you think DQ's just keeping things on the football thing, on the football side, though? Because I get what you're saying, but to Dan's credit, it feels like he's the type of head coach that's going, hey, just let Adam and company do what they do. I'm new here. It is what it is. But I get your point. Like, you think he's picked up the phone and said, hey.
Somebody's got to be the good cop. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, yes.
Somebody's got to be the conduit. And maybe that's ownership. Look, that could be ownership. This is a different – a brand new day there and a different setup. And there's a lot of smart people in this league. And I wrote about this in the Washington Post recently who, you know, people say, well, they could be the Texans of last year and, you know, fall back to earth a little bit in year two. And there's a lot of people who say no, because there are too many smart people there. There's too many people with the emotional intelligence and too many people who are to understand this game on too many levels to let stuff like that happen. But we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. It is going to be fascinating in terms of how this thing ultimately plays out. I'll give you a couple of quick hitters to go around the National Football League before we let you go, man. We appreciate you as always. Shador couldn't have had a worse set of circumstances happen to him with the oblique. What did you make of his depth chart standing after the preseason
I don't
opener?
Make anything of that.
Okay, and do you think he's got a shot here to get some starts early in the regular season?
Well, I think this whole thing is it's Joe Flacco's team until it can't be Joe Flacco's team anymore.
Yeah.
If you look at their schedule, I mean, that's probably before Halloween, and it might be late September. Like, he's in trouble there, and they face a gauntlet, and that's not a very good offensive line anymore, and they don't have a running game, and he wants to, you know, seven-step drop and deep balls all over the place. Like, So I think Shedeur Sanders is the next man up if he's healthy. Gabriel, I don't buy as an NFL quarterback, period.
Yeah.
You know, Pickett's missed a lot of time, and I think he gets dealt at some point. I mean, Watson is, you know, at some point that's got to be a buyout. Like, and he's nowhere close to playing football.
Right.
Snoop Huntley is not any good. Like, I think Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback on that team right now. And that's not saying a whole lot.
Right.
And I think he plays a lot of snaps this season. Exactly when, I don't know. But it's not that far off.
Kind of a total random, just because it just popped in my head. Philly's got another one in this Tanner McKee kid, man. He has been lights out. Do you think that this is an off-season move, or do you think a team pulls the trigger on him before the start or during the season?
Because
he's definitely a guy. He's one of the best 32, Jason. I've seen it last year. You saw it in the opener.
Yeah. I don't think they'd be in any hurry to trade him.
Right, because of Hurts' injury history, too. Yeah.
I would be shocked if somebody would give the kind of value that would lead to an in-season trade with him, especially this close to the season. And with Hurts playing the way he does, I think they're, you know, that's somebody you continue to develop, and then, you know, maybe you auction him off in an off season where you've got everybody, you know, more teams maybe involved. Probably something you'd want to do in like a February combine setting as people are evaluating the draft picks and seeing maybe they're not all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that you do it now right after people just drafted all these quarterbacks and they're going to get a shot whether they deserve it or not. But yes, I think he's going to have a career in this league. And Howie will probably flip him into something pretty interesting.
That's
at
what
some
they
point.
Do. This kid, Johnny Wilson's been making plays out of the wazoo. The Cooper kid, 41, was making plays. I would ask you about the Cowboys, we just don't have that type of time.
We don't need to waste our breath on
them. Yeah, the Colts situation, real quick. Like, I talked to you about this earlier this offseason. You mentioned the ownership change may have saved Steichen and Ballard. Do you still feel that way? In terms of what happens at season's end? Because, I mean, that looks like a mess.
Yeah, I was at that game. The 50-yard line. It's not great. Richardson not being able to diagnose that blitz and letting Ajabo run right at him. And Daniel Jones didn't look great either.
He was horrible when he came.
Third and fourth string guys. So, yeah, I think they're probably on borrowed time. You know, Chris Ballard has had at least, you know, 9 lives, maybe more like 13. yeah, it's not a great roster. The quarterback situation isn't great. I think even in that crappy division, they're probably on borrowed time.
Probably cooked. Can I get a no context answer from you? Just a yes or no. Are the Jets shopping for a quarterback at season's end?
I don't think so.
Mm.
The Jets?
Yeah, the Jets.
No.
No?
I think the Jets are going to win 9 games with Justin Fields.
Wow. That's how you let us go, JLC. I appreciate you. As always, man, one of the absolute best, Jason Lockett for. We'll tap in with you soon, brother, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Have a great night.
That is Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockett for, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Make sure you check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Can I be honest? I can sit and talk to him for 4 hours. He's so entertaining. He's been around the block. He has all the cool chestnuts and barbs. Jason Lockett for, interesting. He, has all along felt like the Terry thing was a little bit more prickly than people here locally have been making it seem. We'll react to what he had to say about Terry next. Wow. If you listened to any of that, you're welcome. Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockett for. Check out his work in the Washington Post as well. I mean, just one of the absolute best. You can just tell sometimes with a guest when you've got synergy. I mean, I just love going back and forth with JLC. I love his authenticity. He's raw, man. He just did. He's just raw. I think he was just as open and honest and objective as you're going to get. When it comes to the Terry McLaurin situation, for just now joining us, he's, you know, continued to reiterate the same thing about the McLaurin situation, that situation is pricklier than maybe we're being led to believe. He also said something else that was interesting to me. He talked about the bedside manner that Adam Peters and company and the folks in San Francisco had over the past few years when doing these deals with Trent Williams, who held out, with Brandon Ayuk, who held out, Deebo Samuel, who held out, Bosa, who held out, Kittle, who held out. He spoke about their bedside manner during those negotiations. And when a team is coming with this mentality and mantra of it's team, 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 and no one is above the franchise, when you have been the franchise cornerstone the way Terry McLaurin has been, that can be met with some, like, backlash. That can be met with some, hold on, Slim, what do you mean? You're treating everybody the same. I am not everybody. Like, that's where I continue to think, you know, Terry McLaurin is coming from with this, man. And I know we all want him to be, here in D.C. I want him to be here in D.C. I know the team is the best version of themselves when he is here in D.C. But at some point, like Jason kind of said here, the further we go along in this situation and with this hold-in, the less likely that I feel like something ultimately gets done. Now, here's the thing. Last season, there were 1,582 explosive pass plays in the NFL. More than 50% of them came on vertical routes. When judging an offensive's explosiveness, start with one question. How well and how often can they succeed with the deep ball? And if you look at last year and you look at the vertical stats for Washington, Jaden Daniels threw for 894 yards on vertical routes last year. Terry McLaurin accounted for 436 of those yards. That's 53%. They need, like, we got to stop with this. They don't need Terry. Terry's not top five, and Terry's not this. Terry's not that. I keep telling you all, it's not about how good Terry is relative to the rest of the wide receivers in the NFL. It's about his importance and how much he means here to this group in the nation's capital. Point blank. And the sooner we realize that, the better discussion and discourse we can have with this, because I'm getting frustrated with it. I'm getting so frustrated with it, because I continue to hear Terry's overrated. Terry's not this. Terry's not that. It's about what Terry means to this offense. And I get on my colleagues all the time. Ben, you can attest to this. It's like we're literally having like a episode of like Around the Horn in between breaks when everyone's here, right, during the week, and we're talking in the bullpen. It is great because it gets put on like a time clock, because eventually the hosts have to go back in and continue the show. But like, we've had me, Danny, Grant, Craig, Chris Russell, JP when he's here. Like, we've had so many convos about the worth of Terry McLaurin.
And it's honestly great fuel for the show, because yes, people get super animated and passionate about how they feel about this situation, that it carries back over when Danny was out when he was in Scotland.
Yeah.
For the entire week, it was Toby filling in and then you at the end of the week. When Toby was here, Grant is just boiling Toby's blood about this Terry thing in the break the entire time. So by the time Toby gets back in the host chair, he's trying to take Grant's head off.
He turned into Toki.
It's really good. It's really funny.
Like, no, I love it.
It just continues to go on and on. It's like, it's insane that this topic has actually carried this station really the whole summer.
It's been a godsend.
When this all started in like late May or whatever it was, everyone was like, this will all get done real soon. This will be a nothing burger. We'll never talk about it again a couple weeks from now.
Everyone but who?
You and Chris Russell.
Everyone but me and the Rooster. The two fearless hosts.
And here we are. Week one's 25 days away.
And we're in major peril here still. Yep. So it's fun, though.
I keep telling everyone that asked me about this job, how it's been working during it. I'm like, I hate it. I'm so sick of this topic. I'm sick of it.
Especially as someone that's got to answer the phones and hear all the idiotic things that you all say.
I love that the same people will call and say
all
this.
Day.
They call the same people, they call every show, and they say the same thing about the Terry situation every day. But, hey, these are our fans.
What are you going to do?
They want to make their voice heard, and no matter what happens, I got to give everyone credit that has stuck to their guns through this whole thing, because I've heard the same people that have called said, we need to pay him this, or I don't care. We don't need to pay him that, or he's under contract. It's the same thing. We've heard it all summer long, but Adam Peters and the people negotiating this contract, Buddy Baker, Terry McLaurin, they don't care what you guys have to think.
At all.
They don't care.
That's not to say that, like, your opinion is irrelevant. It is in this situation, but, like, some of you have actually made some, like, really astute points with this to where, you know, I take a call and then I pivot which way I'm going because the caller brought something up. But the one thing that we got confirmed tonight from a man that knows the CBA as well as anyone, Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, Terry's got leverage. Terry's got leverage. It's the pup list, people. Who was the guy? I told you about the pup list as soon as they put him on it. That it was a potential that this could happen. And you all tweet at me. You call me a DEI hire. You say you don't know how I'm on the air. You say that I suck at my job. Well, now who sucks? Now who sucks? You uninformed minions. You uninformed losers. The ones that sit on all day and call every show and have nothing else better to do. You're a loser. 140 comments under a post because I said that Jaden should play a little bit more in the preseason. Were you at the team scrimmage yesterday? He needs to play. I just can't believe it. Can't believe it. And I'm...
You hear that?
That is literally the sound of me patting myself on the back. Because I was the guy that had the gumption, that had the unmitigated gall to come out and say what your favorite personalities didn't think about. Terry's got leverage, and he's on that pup list. And if he's on pup to start the regular season, that's 4 free game checks at least. And then they've got to open up the 21-day practice window. That's 2 more game checks, and then maybe he'll come in. We'll wrap up the show next.